Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Brighton Council put aside $100,000 to create an environmental sustainability plan in 2025. The goal is to find ways the municipality can contribute to the fight against climate change. Councillor Jeff Wheeldon is leading the charge. He wants residents to mirror the town's efforts as part of a local initiative to help the environment. In this interview, Wheeldon will explain what is going on and what people can do, along with justifying the time and expense. He will also explain the role of the Environmental Sustainability Committee and its involvement. I'm so pleased to have with me today Brighton Councillor Jeff Wheeldon. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
What is an environmental sustainability plan?
Well, there are a lot of different things that can fall under that heading. And so part of the challenge is deciding exactly what it is that we need now. In the past, a lot of municipalities have had something called a climate action plan. And I've been advocating that Brighton have something like that for a number of years now. What we are working on right now is an integrated community sustainability plan, which is kind of a subset of environmental plan that focuses on determining what exactly the community needs within the municipality of Brighton to have a sustainable future. And sustainability can include a number of things. That can include environmental sustainability in terms of, for example, our food systems. We're an agricultural community that relies on our natural environment for a big part of our economy. That can mean ensuring that we are resilient to climate change as it unfolds. You know, we saw major flooding in 2017 and 2019, and we know that there are some hazards like that that we need to be prepared for. And so it's an opportunity to look at everything that we do in the municipality of Brighton and make sure that we can continue to do so ever after. And it will be followed by a plan that is more specifically aimed at reducing our greenhouse gas emissions as well.
On paper, that all sounds wonderful. But how does it apply, though, to people's daily lives? What are the kinds of things that if I was a citizen, I'm going to see that's different in my world?
Well, I think that people rely on municipalities for things that they can otherwise safely ignore. They rely on us to do the things that they don't have to think about, such as making sure that the infrastructure that they use every day is there for them, making sure that their garbage gets out on time, things like that. So when we talk about what will this do for people? Ideally, it's things that people won't have to think about or notice until they need it. So, for example, one of the things we might be looking at is how do we transition to a type of pavement that is more resilient to the freeze-thaw cycle when we have more days that hover around that 0 degree mark and maybe go from -5 to +5 in a day. That wears our roads faster. And so do we have a way of addressing that? Or thinking about in the summertime when it's hitting new record temperatures, do we have a cooling center in the community where somebody who doesn't have home air conditioning is able to find some respite from the heat without getting sick? In the wintertime, do we have access to emergency services if we have another blizzard like we did at Christmas a few years back? Those kinds of things are the things that we want to be planning for now so that as they become more common, as we can expect them to with climate change, people won't notice that there's a lack of municipal services there because we will have anticipated it.
With all the issues that are going on within the municipality of Brighton and the world at large, Why do you need an environmental sustainability plan at all? Is that a really good way to be spending your money and resources at this particular time?
Well, something I've noticed about environmental action, Rob, is that it never seems like it's a good time. When I was a kid, there was something called the Kyoto Protocol that, had it been implemented then, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. But there was always something slightly more important or more pressing. We talk about things like the cost of living and tariffs and things like that being top of mind for people today. But we rely on the regular cycle of seasons, and if we don't plan for changing with them as they change, then we're going to have bigger problems than just tariffs that will impact our cost of living. So the time is always now for people to be thinking of these things within municipal governments and within every level of government, so that regular folks don't have to.
But why municipalities? This seems like a bigger picture problem, maybe provincial, national, international.
That's a great question, and one that people have been asking for a long time now. And I've heard municipal councils all over the place saying things like, this is an international issue, it's too big for our little town. But the reality is that the way government works, change happens one town at a time. Municipal government is nested within provincial government, and it's where the rubber meets the road. So there is a provincial ministry of environment and climate change. There's a federal ministry, and both of these levels of government have a lot of resources and regulations and structures within which we can carry out our activities. But the real change happens here on the ground at the municipal level, and that's true of almost every issue.
Well, speaking of resources, what about the cost associated with this? What sort of cost are we looking at here?
Well, the municipality of Brighton budgeted $100,000 in last year's budget for this integrated community sustainability plan.
Describe the process that you went through to get to this point.
Well, if we want to take it all the way back in 2020-ish, trying to remember exactly when, I brought a delegation to council long before I was a councillor, suggesting that Brighton start an environmental sustainability advisory committee, because at that time we had no one on staff, no committee, and no real initiatives to address climate change or environmental sustainability within the municipality. As you had said earlier, people would say, well, this isn't a municipal issue, this is a federal or international issue. But I recognized that without anyone within our municipality specifically there for this reason, to ask these kinds of questions, we would continue to pass on this kind of action. So I brought a delegation to council, and the previous council agreed and set up an environmental sustainability advisory committee. That committee has continued to today. I am now the chair of that committee as a councillor, and I am proud of the work that that committee has done to keep environment and sustainability top of mind for the municipality and for council. Within that, we have advocated as a committee for resources to be spent on environmental sustainability projects like this plan. We've also engaged with groups like Nature Canada, which is currently advocating for a national marine conservation area off the Presque Isle Point area and around Prince Edward County region. So opportunities like that to just pay attention to the natural world around us and recognize it as an asset that we enjoy and that we should preserve, just to continue to bring value to our community through that. Ultimately, Rob, the main thing that we needed to do to get this plan going was just to fund it. And so one of the first things I did when I was on council in our first budget was to suggest that we do this. As I say, council did award $60,000 in that first budget this term. We didn't have an opportunity to spend it then. We had a lot of other stuff going on. As I said, there's always something that seems more important at the time. But in our second budget, I pointed out that Port Hope was going to spend $90,000. Could we do a little better? And so we budgeted $100,000 and managed to get the ball rolling.
Thank you for mentioning Port Hope, because that was going to be my next question. Port Hope has a climate action plan, which it passed recently. Are you familiar with that plan?
Just in broad strokes. I know that they had a smaller plan before, and they reinvested in that because they wanted something more robust. We've also been in talk over the last few years with, or at least I have been, through the Northumberland Tamarack Climate Cohort. A bunch of us councillors from different municipalities work together with members of environmental committees and engage in a program through an organization called Tamarack to advocate for the environment together in Northumberland. And through that process, we've been encouraging each other and supporting each other in our respective municipalities. And we came together also to connect with Corey McKay, the sustainability officer for Northumberland County, asking her, can you please prioritize collaboration in the way that you're designing the county's plan so that we can be prepared to work together from across the county? And she's been great to work with. I know Coburg has a plan. I'm not deeply familiar with it either, but I do know that there are people in every municipality that are looking at what each other is doing and saying, okay, let's make sure that we are open to working together.
What is the role of the Environmental Sustainability Committee in all of this?
Sure. It is an advisory committee. And so as an advisory committee, its main purpose is to make sure that they're available to advise council on matters that are beyond the scope of, frankly, what our staff expertise includes. We don't have an environmental sustainability officer on our municipal staff, but we do have some very qualified people from within our community who have backgrounds in biology and conservation, climate change and climate science, things like that. And so we have brought a number of those people together who have volunteered. They've applied to be a member of this committee. And so when an environmental matter comes before council, ideally it gets referred to the committee in advance so that we can provide comment or recommendations to council. Because oftentimes these issues are quite complex. They do need a little bit more research and expertise than individual councillors can or should put in. And so this is an opportunity to make sure that council can make an informed choice on something that we don't necessarily have in our staff expertise pool.
Can you give me some examples of the recommendations made that were implemented by this committee?
Sure. I mean, funding is a big one, wanting to make sure that we continue to fund matters like this. I can show up at council and suggest we spend money, but with a recommendation from the Environmental Sustainability Advisory Committee, it's not just Jeff's pet project at that point. It is something that residents have engaged in and supported on the basis of their own understanding of climate change and how it affects us here in Brighton. So very pleased to have those recommendations. We also recently engaged with Nature Canada through the committee. Nature Canada is a nationwide environmental organization, and they have a lot of different conservation projects across the country. And so their proposal right now for a national marine conservation area, they've identified specific places around Lake Ontario and specifically near Presque Isle Point and Prince Edward County. And so they wanted to make sure that they spoke to Brighton. And so the committee was able to engage with them, read their report and recommendations, have a robust conversation at committee level, and then make a recommendation to council that council support Nature Canada's proposal. And then council then passed a resolution supporting that proposal and circulating our support to neighboring municipalities so that everyone around knows that we're on board.
So that's one example. Can you give me another?
We're a fairly new committee and these things don't come up every day. And so I wish I could give you a ton of examples. We have had some challenges as well in terms of there was recently an environmental sustainability issue or concern that was quite controversial in the community. And it was not referred to the Sustainability Advisory Committee.
What was that?
That was the matter of swans. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was concern in the community about swans as an invasive species that were, we had biologists come to council and make a recommendation that we look into options for population control for swans because they, frankly, they poop 5 or 6 pounds a day each. And we have a few hundred of them in our marsh, and they take up a lot of space in terms of biological or ecological space within that ecosystem. And so biologists suggested that they were having an adverse effect on the marsh. There was a local group that had formed in support of the swans, and there was some misinformation, some suggestion that council had voted to cull the swans, which we absolutely had not done. But that was the word that had gotten around town. And I do feel that had that gone to the Environmental Sustainability Advisory Committee first, rather than going straight to council, a lot of that misinformation would have been able to have been addressed proactively. But when it comes down to it, council members are not biologists. And we should have relied on the expertise that is within our committee, because we have committee members who have experience with dealing with invasive species and would have been able to give a much better look at that issue. So these advisory committees are really important when we remember to use them well. And so we learned some lessons there and really underlined the importance of this committee.
When was that?
That was last year. It lasted almost all year.
How often does the committee meet?
All of our advisory committees typically try and have a minimum of 4 meetings a year. Some advisory committees really only meet as needed. 4 meetings a year is a baseline. If we have an issue come up, for example, when Nature Canada wanted to bring this proposal to us, we just call another meeting. And so I would say that the Environmental Sustainability Advisory Committee meets 6 to 8 times a year.
In our conversation, you've already alluded to the fact that the Environmental Sustainability Committee is going to be involved in the creation of this plan. But besides consultation, what do you see as being the committee's role going forward from that point?
Well, one of the challenges in first forming the committee in the year before I was elected to council, we were looking at what is our role as a committee, because we can't necessarily be in charge of environmental sustainability. That's a very, very broad topic that, you know, no committee on its own could cover. And so we looked at, well, our role then needs to be to advise council, but also to come alongside community groups that are already active in this space. So, for example, there's the Friends of Presque Isle, there's the Brighton Garden Club. There are numerous individuals and groups within the community who are already doing good work toward environmental sustainability, and we want to come alongside and support them. So, for example, last year, the ENSS Environmental Committee, which was made up of senior students who were very organized and hard at work on an Earth Day celebration in the park. We came alongside them and offered some support, a little bit of extra organizing, and we would do the same again. I understand that the ENSS Environmental Committee this year is a younger group of students who were not in the same position to put on an event. And so I don't know that we're going to have an event this year, but those are the kind of initiatives that we can support, but not things that we would organize on our own, if that makes sense. We want to be able to be a liaison for these different groups to help them engage with each other and do maybe larger projects than they would do individually. And so if we can be a connector and a supporter and even a small scale funder for these kinds of initiatives from within the community, we want to do that.
But at some point, somebody's going to have to start rolling up their sleeves and implementing whatever the recommendations are of that report. So who do you see doing that part?
Well, Integrated Community Sustainability Plan, and then the Climate Mitigation Plan that will follow it, which will be more aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Both of those will be specifically, primarily aimed at municipal operations. And so every department in the municipality is going to be adding these approaches and even just lenses to the way that they already do their job. And so it's not so much that there's going to be a whole bunch of new projects as there's going to be new ways of doing the same old thing that these departments have always done, just in a greener, more efficient, or more ambitious way to be more sustainable. But when it comes to the doing of things, that's one of the challenges of all advisory committees that I've been on, is that oftentimes the people who will put in an application to be on a resident advisory committee are the doers. And then we have to talk about what it means to be advisors rather than doers. We are not in a position as an advisory committee to do all of the things. We're primarily there to inform council on matters under that purview. So that's often challenging for residents who signed up because they have a passion for something, and sometimes because they have time on their hands or because they have specific things that they want to get done. And we have to look at, okay, well, how do we encourage council to do those things, or how do we bring these things before council to determine whether or not this is something the municipality can do? Or should we be looking to some of these other community groups and saying, hey, we love this thing that you're doing and we want to support that, and so we're going to help you do it a little bit bigger, a little bit better, any way that we can. So that's the challenge and the tension in all of our advisory committees, is that the doers want to do more, and we have to look at how can we do that effectively and sustainably.
If you follow the news at all, you have a sense of the great chaos that seems to exist right now.
Yes.
Canada is currently facing an existential crisis, plus a trade war. We look internationally and there is a realigning of the world order. People have a lot of heavy-duty things on their minds. Is this really the best time to be making this kind of plan a priority?
Yeah, you know, Rob, I would say this is not the best time. The best time was 50 years ago. The next best time was 30 years ago. As I said earlier, if we had implemented the Kyoto Protocols in the early 90s, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all. But in terms of what this requires of people, we're not adding anything to anyone's plate. By being proactive, we are taking things off our plates for tomorrow by doing small things today. So this Integrated Community Sustainability Plan will be there as something that can, as I said before, probably mostly invisibly prepare the municipality to deal with a changing climate, so that when we have we're living in these unprecedented times, we want to make sure that the next time we have unprecedented weather and unprecedented disruptions from it, that we're prepared to not be quite so disrupted. If we do this job well, you won't notice anything at all. I mean, of course, you'll still notice it, but it will not affect your lives as much. And so this is not a matter of we need to put more on people's plates. This is a matter of we need to be proactive and address things in advance so that they will disrupt us less later.
Jeff Wheeldon, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob. It's always a pleasure.
That was Brighton Councillor Jeff Wheeldon. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.